We're up to Ruth chapter 3. Ruth is one of those books, it's a short book, but there's so much in here. It's one of those I just don't feel I'm doing justice to it because there's so many lessons in here, and the more you study, the deeper it gets. But Ruth is an awesome book, and the Lord really blesses us with that book of Ruth, especially where he's placed it right after the book of Judges. So remember, the story of Ruth actually takes place during that time of the Judges. And remember, at that point, the great majority of the Israelites, that they were not following the Lord. And instead of living the way God told them to, they were just doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. And the Lord showed us what a horrible mess that is in the book of Judges. If you ever want to be reminded, just read through the book of Judges and see what it looks like when we do things our way rather than God's way. But here in the story of Ruth, the Lord shows us that there were some people who were wanting to live God's way. And the Lord shows us here in this story how he can bless the life of anyone who wants to be faithful to God. So it's a real cool story to get into. Now, as we get into chapter 3, Ruth has been gleaning in the field of Boaz now for about a month and a half. And at this time, Naomi decided that she needed to step in and give Ruth some directions slash advice on how to get the man of her dreams. But it's interesting that in all of this, God's will was being accomplished. Now, how all that works, I'm not really sure, because the Lord doesn't tell us every step here where they're saying, I remember this verse, so this is why I did this, or I remember this verse, this is why I did this. But we see they're moving and doing things by the will of God and according to his law. So it's really, really cool to watch people living this out, living out what they believe. We mentioned last time that God seems to work things out so naturally sometimes and so smoothly, that we don't even realize the Lord's involved setting things up behind the scenes. So as we understand that principle here from Ruth, and we see that in our own life too, we know a lot of times you don't notice God moving until you look back and you see his hand on that. Another thing you notice here is you pay attention to how Naomi and Ruth and Boaz are doing things. The things they're doing are based on God's law. They aren't just doing what they think is right in their own mind. They were basing their actions on what God said in his word, and we're going to point out some of those when we see that. And because they were doing that, God shows us how he can bless people who will obey him and do it his way. So it's really cool to see that. And remember, this isn't just an Old Testament concept. In the New Testament, we're also told very clearly, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So that means you make God the priority, and you do things God's way, and he'll take care of the rest. And he does. It's really amazing to watch that. So here, we see people who were doing that in the Old Testament, and the Lord really did take care of these folks in a very special way. So let's jump into Ruth chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, this is Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? So she's expressing her heart here for Ruth and what she wants to do. She mentions here that she's wanting to seek security for her. And this security she's talking about is kind of in the husbandly way, if you know what I mean here. We'll see that coming out in the text. That meant that Naomi was trying to help her find a good husband and a nice home. She said she wants things to go well with her, and that's what her desire is, right? So that's a good thing. Now, it's interesting as we're watching Naomi and some of the changes taking place in her. You remember back in chapter 1 and verse 9, Naomi was trying to find this security, as it was called even then, for both of her daughter-in-laws when they were back, all of them were back in Moab. But the way she was going about it then was wrong, because they're back in Moab, they would have had to marry pagan husbands and they would have ended up bowing down to false gods. So that wasn't the best thing that Naomi was trying to do for them. But in our story here, where Naomi is at now, as she's counseling Ruth, the Lord has pointed out, he's pointed her back in the right direction. And that's a good thing to see. Because now she's encouraging Ruth to get this godly Israelite man, Boaz, for her husband. That's a great thing to see change in Naomi. So sometimes the Lord has to point us back in the right direction too. You know, we may be seeking the wrong things for ourselves or for those that we care about. And the Lord was going to, has to bring us to a place too, just like he brought Naomi back to the promised land. Sometimes the Lord has to bring us to a place so that we'll seek the right things for ourselves and for our loved ones. And we might be in that spot right now, you know, where God needs to move us to and point us in the right direction again. And that's okay. Let him do that. Don't resist his hand in that one. Remember, and we'll see this over again, God's way is always the right way. Always. So go on to verse 2. Here's Naomi still speaking to Ruth. She said, "Now Boaz, whose young women you were with," remember she was working alongside his servants there, and it says, "Is he not a relative?" So he's that close relative here. "In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor." Now, Naomi here, she was going to instruct Ruth on what God's law taught concerning the ability of the nearest relative, or kinsman redeemer as it's called, which is Boaz. She's going to give some instruction on how this is supposed to work. So according to Leviticus 25 is one of the things she's basing this on. The Lord had made a special provision for the nearest relative to buy back or redeem, which is what that's talking about, the family's property. Now, if it had been sold outside the family. So that's one thing we're going to see happen in the story here. Also, in Deuteronomy 25, the Lord had commanded that if a man dies and he doesn't have a son, then the nearest relative was to marry that widow and have a son with her. And then that son would be able to carry on the family name. And that way the name would be carried on, the land would be carried on, and stay in the same family. So the Lord had made provision for all of those things, which is amazing to see how great the Lord's system is when it works the way it's supposed to. So she's telling Ruth these things since Ruth was a foreigner and not familiar with how the Israelites were supposed to obey the Lord in these things. So Naomi's giving her very godly instruction when we see what she's going to tell her here. Now, it's so cool to watch these folks do things God's way when the rest of the culture was doing things in their own ungodly way. You know, never allow culture to outweigh the Word of God. We see that way too often, and it's always a big temptation for believers. You know, that's when we start justifying doing things differently than what God says in His Word. And we can tell we're doing that when we have the thought or we say, "Well, I know what the Bible says, but," right then we have let something outweigh the Word of God, and that is a wrong thing to do. And you always end up on the bad side of things when you do that. But the Lord is not pleased when we go that direction, you know. His Word is always right, regardless of what's going on in the culture around us. And we're showing a real lack of faith, too, in trusting God when we turn from His Word to follow the ways of our culture. So take that to heart. Now, we notice here, too, that Naomi picked this particular time to instruct Ruth because it was a night where there was going to be this winnowing barley, she said, at the threshing floor. So Naomi knew that Boaz was going to be there, and she also knew that there was always a celebration when they went through these things. So there would be some drinking involved, and the men would be in a pretty good mood. So it's interesting how you ladies can figure out when it's a good time to talk to a man. And I believe that's part of the instruction that the older women are supposed to give the younger women at church that Paul talks about in the New Testament. You know, and the younger ladies would be wise to listen to that advice. Some of you ladies who have been married for a while, you understand how us guys think, and it's a strange way as the way that you think, you know. So when you gain that wisdom, it would really help the younger ladies to hear that lesson earlier and save them the frustration that I'm sure you've gone through. And that's just a good lesson for that too. So Naomi here, she goes on to give her very specific instructions. So we're going to see that in verse 3. She says, "Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor." It's where the work was going to be taking place that night. "But do not make yourself known to the man," talking about Boaz, "until he has finished eating and drinking." So Naomi was not telling Ruth to seduce Boaz. That's not what's going on here. the instruction she was giving. She was simply telling Ruth to make herself presentable and attractive for Boaz. You know, I mean, think about this. Every time Boaz has seen Ruth up to this point, she's been working hard and probably pretty sweaty too, you know. So it isn't really what you want to look like if you're going to go out on a date. So she's given her direction here to, you know, clean yourself up, pretty yourself up, and make yourself attractive. He was just encouraging her to show Boaz a better picture of herself. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Naomi also knew that Boaz was a man of integrity and that he would respect Ruth. He wasn't going to take advantage of the situation. And she also knew Ruth, that she also was a woman of integrity. So don't think that Naomi was giving any ungodly advice here that you might hear from Hollywood these days. You know, saying something like, you have to stoop to sinful ways if you want to get a guy. You know, that's not at all that was going on. That's bad advice when you hear that coming from Hollywood. That's from the devil. So don't fall for that one. It is not good wisdom from the Lord. So verse 4 goes on. She continues giving her these specific instructions. She said, then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, so pay attention to where he goes, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. So she was supposed to go in and lay down at his feet after uncovering them. All right, there was some things about that we'll see. So the men back then, they would stay with the barley after it had been separated when they did this event where they would have all the crops brought in. Then they were going to start doing the work of separating, so they're now making it ready to be prepared for food. Now, they would stay there at night because there were thieves that would come through and steal. And that's why she knew Boaz was going to be there to protect his field and protect his crops there. Remember when Gideon, we saw this in the book of Judges, when he was hiding out at a wine press to thresh his wheat. He was afraid somebody was going to steal his food, so he was hiding even to go through that process. So these guys would stay here all night and make sure that the grain wasn't stolen either. And that's how Naomi knew this was going to be a good night for Ruth to go there. So she's using really good wisdom in how she's seeing things, and I know the Lord's helping her put all this together too. Now, Naomi was sending Ruth to humble herself before Boaz. As you see that description, you go in and you're going to uncover his feet and lie there. And what she's telling her to do has some significance in their culture. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But somebody said this. Ruth had been going in the field to Boaz and taking from his field over and over again for about 6 weeks at this point. And that was fine. That was allowed and that was okay for her to do that. But now she's being told, instead of taking, she's being told to give herself. You know, there are times when we've been blessed by the Lord over and over, but there should come a time when we give ourselves to the Lord too. You know, Paul encourages us to do that in Romans 12. He says, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So I hope we're not just always taking things from the Lord, but never giving ourselves back to Him. You know, don't be a gimme person. Be a giver. Give your life to the Lord. He knows how to run it a whole lot better than we do, right? Now, about those instructions that Naomi gave to Ruth, when Ruth was told to uncover Boaz's feet, she was actually taking the garment that he had covered himself with, kind of like a blanket, and removing it off of his feet. And then she was going to lay down at his feet. And this was showing her humility by lying at his feet like this. And this is an action that would actually lead to offering herself to be his bride. So she's taking steps here that are very understandable in their culture. And by doing this, she's taking a risk because he could say, no way, get out of here. You know, what are you doing? So it is a brave thing that she's doing. If she's going to prepare herself to do this. Now, in verse 5, we see her response to everything that Naomi has given in these very specific instructions. And here's Ruth's response to her. She said, all that you say to me, I will do. So Ruth was going to step out in faith and do this. Now, can you imagine how hard this must have been for her. Remember that she was a Moabite. She's a foreigner. She's an outsider. What if Boaz rejected her? You know, but we see that Ruth was serious when she told Naomi back in Moab, remember when they first left, she said to Naomi, your God is going to be my God, which is the God of Israel. And we see here that she's obeying what she's been told according to godly advice she's been getting here. So she's serious. If your God says this is what should be done, then I'm going to do that. So what we're seeing here is she's stepping out in faith. She doesn't know the end of the story, but she's going to step out and trust God to see what's going to happen. You know, it's hard to step out in faith sometimes when we're not sure what's going to take place after we do. And hey, it's always right to step out in faith, but it's not always easy. You know, there are times when God leads us to do something that doesn't make sense. But we need to just trust the Lord and do it anyway. Do it His way. You know, if we see what God clearly tells us to do in His Word, and then we step out and we do it His way, it's amazing how He blesses that. Did you know that there have been marriages that have been restored by people just submitting to God's instructions? And I'm talking about marriages that, when you look at them from the outside, they didn't look like they had a chance to make it. And yet, simple obedience to God's clear commands was what it took to begin to see those marriages restored. And that goes for other areas of our life as well. You know, God loves us, and He knows what's best for us. I mean, you think about this. He's not shooting from the hip when He gives us His instructions from His Word. God knows how things work since He created everything. He wrote the owner's manual, so He knows. That's why obedience to the Lord brings blessing, because we're just getting in line with the way things are supposed to work. And that principle of obedience bringing the Lord's blessing, it's pretty much through the whole Bible. I mean, you can read it in Psalms and different places where the Lord says, blessed are those, you know, who obey and do things His way. Yeah, so verse 6 goes on. So she went down to the threshing floor, and she did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. Now, isn't it cool when we see obedience in the Bible? You know, there are so many people who disobey the Lord. It just looks so neat when somebody obeys. I don't know if you appreciate that, but it is really neat to see this. We saw it a lot in Moses' life where he did things God's way, exactly the way God said, and it was so neat to see that. And when I see this, I like to stop and kind of focus on it, because unfortunately, it's kind of rare to see, even in the scriptures here, you know, people actually obeying the Lord. And unfortunately, things haven't changed very much, have they? There's still so many people who disobey the Lord, even some Christians, you know, but it's so wonderful when you see somebody who actually obeys the Lord. And I just had to point that out because it's very refreshing here to see Ruth's obedient heart. You know, I had a chance this week to meet with the missionary that has gone to China before and done a lot of work over there, and he's back in the States now. And it was a real refreshing time. This guy just loves the Lord. He loves to get into His Word. And we had a real good time of fellowship. And he said, towards the end of our meeting, he said, you know, it's really good just to talk to somebody who gets it. You know, I thought, I appreciate that, because there's so many people in the world who could care less what God has to say. And, you know, it's such a joy to be around believers that love the Lord and love His Word. And just the fellowship of joy you get being with folks, you know. So, yeah, enjoy each other, you know, in Christ. Get a chance to do that. You don't get that in the world anywhere. Did you notice? You can't have lunch with somebody in the world and find that kind of joy if they're not interested in God are the things of the Lord. So I love these passages when it just says she did everything she was told to do. We know she followed the godly direction on that. So verse 6 goes on. So she went down to the threshing floor. She did all that her mother-in-law had instructed her. And it says that after Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly. She uncovered his feet and she lay down. Then it says, now it happened at midnight that the man was startled. You can picture this in your mind. And turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. Very surprising when he knew there was nobody there when he laid down, right? And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. So notice here, Ruth called herself his maidservant. And she didn't call herself, I'm Ruth the Moabitess. You notice, that's been her title pretty much all along. But now she refers to herself as his servant. So she saw herself in a new way, I think, ever since the day she met Boaz and accepted his offer to stay in his fields. And you think about this as Christians, you know, we can see ourselves in a new way too, since we met Jesus and we've accepted his offer of salvation. You know, before we were lost sinners on our way to hell for all eternity, that's who we were, you know. But now we're forgiven and we're fully accepted by God who loves us. And he even made us part of his family. So we can really see ourselves as a true child of God. And I know, as amazing as that sounds, but we can see ourselves for what God says about us. And that is truly a blessing. You know, then Ruth here, she went on to say that she was seeking refuge from Boaz. We're going to find as we go further in the story here. And she was hoping that he was going to fulfill his duty as the close relative, because that's what she called him at the end of verse 9. You know, she said, take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. And she was saying, you're that kinsman redeemer. So as she was reaching out to him, she was basically acknowledging that your duty is to fulfill what you're supposed to, according to the Lord's word, you're supposed to marry me. And we'll explain that further too as we get in here. But remember, since Ruth's husband had died without giving her a son, according to God's law, the nearest relative was supposed to marry her or to provide an heir for her deceased husband. I mean, that's just the way the Lord set it up. So he's aware of all this as she's saying these words. I mean, she doesn't have to explain the whole thing like we do. They know all about how this is supposed to work because Naomi's explained it to her and he knows it. So interesting to see all this coming together. And again, it's God's way. It's his design. So verse 10 goes on. Then he responded. So here's Boaz answering what she has just said to him. He didn't say, get out of here, notice. He said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. So this is a beautiful picture here of what Boaz is seeing in his heart as he's talking to her. He was acknowledging that Naomi was a very blessed lady, you know, by the Lord, because he knew that she was following the Lord here in what she was saying. She wasn't just saying, hey, you want to marry me? She was saying, you know, according to God's law, it's your job to do this. You know, and that's what he's hearing. So he knows this is of the Lord, what you're doing. Man, you are blessed in what you're doing. And she apparently here was younger from his response too, because he said you didn't go after a younger guy. So she apparently was younger, and the temptation for her would be to go after somebody maybe that was a young guy and closer to her age. But she was choosing to offer herself to Boaz, even though he was older, because that was the Lord's will for her situation. Now, Boaz knew this principle that says obedience brings blessing. So he said to her, blessed are you of the Lord. Can people say that about us? You know, that we're blessed of the Lord because we do things God's way? I hope they can. I hope they see that in the way we live. And let's work on that, you know, if we're feeling convicted right now about that. But it'd be great to have that testimony where people say, oh, yeah, I know that person. They follow the Lord because stuff happens in their life. I know God takes care of them. Yep. Now, Boaz also said here that she was showing more kindness now than she did at the beginning. You know, and that was enormous then. I mean, you think about it. He was talking about when she left her homeland and her family and everything behind to come and to take care of Naomi. He knew that was extreme kindness on her part. But he said she's doing even more now. And it's because now that she's here and she's kind of settled and she's got provision, maybe the thought would be, I can get a really good guy now. I can get a young guy and, you know, have a great life that way. But instead, she's going to follow what God says to do here. So he knows that she could have another man. She could have a younger man, even a rich guy, And I don't know if that's, I'm assuming because she probably looked like she could, you know, do that. She could attract someone that way. So he was so impressed that she chose obedience over those things. And I think Boaz himself gave a very humble answer to her when he spoke that way. And he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord," you know. That was really amazing to watch him respond that way. Now, verse 11, it's, he goes on, he's still talking to her. He says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman." So Boaz graciously comforted Ruth by his words. But isn't it interesting that we find out that the whole town was talking about her? Here she was, a Gentile from Moab, and yet she was living a very righteous life in Israel. You know, I think the people were possibly convicted by her holy lifestyle. And the Lord can do that for us too. You know, we've talked about that last time, that the Lord may have someone come into our life that's a lost person, or maybe they're even into a cult of some sort, and yet they're living a more righteous life than we are, and it really brings conviction on us. So here we see that going on with Ruth, as the whole town's talking about her. I'm sure some of the folks are probably convicted as they're hearing how amazing she is living here, so righteous and sacrificing her life to help Naomi like that. So goes on in verse 12 then, "Now it is true that I am a close relative," Boaz goes on to say, "however, there is a relative closer than I." So Boaz lets her know that there is a bit of a problem with her request, something she didn't know about. But there was another relative who was actually closer to her husband's family than he was. So basically this other guy, he has first dibs on the property and on her and everything too. You know, so he's just letting her know this is the situation. Then verse 13 says, "Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives. Lie down until morning." So Boaz, he puts her at ease and just tells her to get some rest. You know, he's telling her to be at peace here. Don't be concerned over that. He's going to take care of things, and he will make sure that things work out for her so that she'd be well taken care of. Now this is the way he's saying this too. You know, if this other guy, if he takes you, then that's okay. As long as you're taken care of, I'll just make sure that's done. So he's at peace. It's not what he wants. It's not his choice, but he's willing to say, you know, as long as you're taken care of, that's what's important to him. Now, this is amazing to me how Boaz trusted the Lord. Rather than saying, you know, something like, you know, there's another relative, but we're just going to go and do it this way. You know, we're going to work our way around it. You know, but he goes on to say that he was going to go about this whole thing and do it the right way, which has the possibility of not having the outcome that they were hoping for. You know, and that's when stepping out in faith is so hard. When we see things that could possibly not work out the way we want them to if we do it God's way. But remember again, God's way is always the right way. So just trust him. You know, Boaz here, he trusted in the Lord, and things worked out the way they were supposed to. Romans 11 tells us this: whoever believes on him, Jesus is talking about, so whoever puts their faith in Jesus will not be put to shame. We just need to trust the Lord. Verse 14 says, "So she lay at his feet until morning, and she arose before one could recognize another." So she's going to go before it's light enough for you to see somebody's face. It's still pretty dark. So she gets up then. And then he said, "Do not let it be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." So Boaz didn't want anyone getting the wrong idea here. There was nothing that happened. They were both very upright in their actions. So he doesn't want anybody to get the wrong idea that, you know, she came up there and there was a party going on and that. So he wants to make sure, and she's very willing to go with that too. So verse 15, "Also he said, bring the shawl that is on you and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 ephahs of barley, and he laid it on her.
And then she went into the city.
So he supplied Ruth and Naomi here with at least 2 weeks' worth of food by giving her all this. And I think that was a sign that he was going to do his best to take care of her. He said he would. Now his actions are showing that. And his whole point, I think, was, Ruth, you don't have to worry. You know, you're going to be taken care of. So it's really cool gesture he made. He wanted to make sure she didn't leave empty-handed. And you can almost see the picture here. You know, it says that he laid it on her. So he lifted her provision up, you know, to help her get it on her shoulder or her head, however they carried it in those days, so she could carry it home to Naomi. To me, it's such a beautiful picture, you know, that he's helping her carry the burden to get it where she can actually carry it now. So isn't that cool that Naomi had complained, if you remember, that she came back empty when she returned to Israel. But the Lord had kept her full, if you notice, ever since she came back. And that a cool picture, because we mentioned that was a picture of the prodigal, right? And it's a great thing to come back to the Lord. You know, when a prodigal returns home to the Lord, he will always fill them up. And that's something we need to encourage people with, that the Lord is waiting for people to return. He wants to show them, I'm here. I can take care of you, you know. Don't leave again. Stay where you are. So it's a beautiful picture on that side of it too. Verse 16 goes on. When she came to her mother-in-law, she said, here's Naomi speaking, is that you, my daughter? And then she told her all that the man had done for her. So she tells her the story. And Naomi says this, Ruth says this, these 6 ephahs of barley he gave me, for he said to me, and notice what he said, do not go empty-handed to your mother-in-law. This is really amazing. Don't you love how Boaz keeps showing loving kindness to both Ruth and Naomi, all right? And hey, any guy who's nice to somebody's mother-in-law, well, he must be a pretty nice guy, right? I had to throw that in there. Verse 18. Then she said, sit still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out. So here's Naomi encouraging her. She says, for the man will not rest until he has concluded the matter this day. So she's encouraging Ruth to be at ease. You know, she felt that Boaz was going to work things out. Bringing home that food was a good sign to her that he's got this, you know. So really good advice on her part. Now, chapter 4 goes on. Now, Boaz went up to the gate, and he sat down there, and behold, the close relative of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, come aside, friend, sit down. So he came aside, and he sat down. And somebody mentioned, this is an amazing picture when you watch this. This is the time when the harvest came in. These guys are busy. And he's calling him to sit down, and he did. Okay, and he took 10 men of the elders of the city, and he said, sit down here. So they sat down. This is amazing. It's like the Lord is calling everything to a halt because he's got some business to take care of here. And the city gate, it talks about, this is where they did their legal business. So it was kind of like their courthouse. This would be a very normal picture to see it taking place here. Verse 3, then he said to the close relative, Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, sold the piece of land which belonged to our brother Elimelech. And remember, the Lord allowed them to sell the land so that they could have provision if they were poor and in need. So it shows us here Naomi had to do that. So the land has been sold off. In verse 4, he said, I thought to inform you, saying, buy it back in the presence of the inhabitants and of the elders of my people. So he's saying you can make this deal right here. If you redeem it, if you will redeem it, then redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is no one but you to redeem it, and I am next after you. And the man said, I will redeem it. You know, it makes me wonder if Boaz's heart just sank at this point when the guy said, sure, I'll take the deal. You know, remember that we were told that the whole town knew about Naomi and Ruth. So I think Boaz must have just assumed that this guy knew the story and that he would take in them. He was saying, I'll take them in as well. You know, sometimes when we do things God's way, it might not look good at first. I mean, I'm sure Boaz was hoping the guy would say, I'm not interested. If you want to take it, go right ahead. And it didn't happen that way. He says, I'll take it. But, you know, sometimes it doesn't look good when we step out and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do it your way. And then all of a sudden, it doesn't seem to go right, you know? But don't be discouraged. You know, just trust God either way. Remember when Daniel did things God's way and they threw him in the lion's den? That didn't look too good. But it did turn out good at the end, right? Same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They did things God's way, and they were thrown in the fiery furnace. Didn't look too good at first, but it turned out good at the end for them too. So don't be discouraged up front. Our God can do amazing things. And I think a lot of times the Lord allows this stuff to happen just to show us that. You know, we get to the point where we're thinking, oh, this ain't going to work. Did it your way, Lord, and it ain't going to work. And the Lord's just kind of whispering, just wait. You're going to see something now. It's pretty cool. So verse 5 goes on. Then Boaz said, on the day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must also buy it from Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, acknowledging that it's Naomi's son who passed away. So now there's this widow here, doesn't have a son. So he's saying, you have to take her too. He tells him here to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance. So he's saying, if you're willing to obey part of the law, that you want the land, then you're going to have to obey the whole land, the whole law, because you've got to take the women as well, because they're part of this deal according to God's way, which means you've got to take this widow Ruth, be her husband, have a son. He gets some inheritance from that. So this is a good reminder that we have to obey God in everything that he says. You know, we can't just pick and choose what we want to obey, which is a real tendency in our culture. I think we have too many buffet lines or something. We think we could do that with God's word too. I just take some of this and this, but I don't like that, won't take that, but I want this. So this guy was told pretty clearly by Boaz, you got to obey the whole law here if you're going to do this. So verse 6, look at this guy's answer. The close relative, guy at first dibs, he said, I cannot redeem it for myself. All of a sudden, I don't think this is a good deal. He says, lest I ruin my own inheritance. So he's concerned, like, wait a minute now, if I do that, and I have another son by this lady, and she gets part of the inheritance, and it's in her husband's name and everything, then that's going to affect my family, and they're going to lose some of the inheritance and stuff. So he's doing the math on this and figuring out it's going to cost him if he does this. And he says, no, I can't do that. So he gives him permission, then he says, you redeem my right of redemption for yourself, for I cannot redeem it. So this guy was afraid to do this because of what it would cost him. Aren't you glad that God didn't refuse to redeem us because of what it would cost him? You know, and God paid a great price. He allowed his precious son Jesus to die in our place so that he could redeem us and set us free from our sins. Now, verse 7 goes on, explains this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm anything, one man took off his sandal and gave it to the other. And this was a confirmation in Israel. And some places you look, it tells you that the action here was the guy saying, I'm giving up my right to walk on this property. It's not mine anymore. So that's kind of the picture there of giving that sandal up. Then it goes on in verse 8. Therefore, the close relative said to Boaz, buy it for yourself. So he took off his sandal, basically closing the deal. So in the law, if you read it in the Old Testament further back here, it said that when this happened, the woman would spit in the man's face for refusing to fulfill his duty as a kinsman redeemer, because in essence, that's what he's doing. He's the guy who's supposed to be doing this, and he says, no thanks, I'm not going to do it. So it's interesting that that would happen. But some have pointed out that Boaz didn't have Ruth here to go through all of this, apparently, keeping her from having all the frustration and rejection and everything else she might face here. So she's not there. Boaz is stepping up and taking care of all this for her, which is pretty interesting. So I want you to think how much Jesus put up with for us. Because, you know, they spit in Jesus' face, even when he was being our kinsman redeemer. How sad. He not only paid for our sins, he also took our shame. Verse 9 goes on. And Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's, get that out there, and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi. Remember, those were the sons. And moreover, he says, Ruth the Moabitess, the widow of Mahlon, I have acquired as my wife, to perpetuate the name of the dead through his inheritance, that the name of the dead may not be cut off from among his brethren and from his position at the gate. You are witnesses this day. So Boaz calls them all to be witnesses that he did what was right according to God's law. He makes that a very clear announcement. So this is quite a testimony for any time period, but especially during the time of the judges, to be able to say, I did this exactly the way God said it should be done. You know, that stands apart when you're in a very wicked culture here. And you know, we saw people doing things their own way in the book of Judges, and it ended up a mess every time. But here, during the same time period, the Lord shows us a small story where people trusted God by doing things His way, and it turned out amazing. Verse 11 goes on. It says, and all the people who were at the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. The Lord make the woman who is coming to your house like Rachel and Leah, the two who built the house of Israel. And may you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem, which is the area where they're at. They're just calling a blessing on him. Then it says in verse 12, may your house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah, because of the offspring which the Lord will give you from this young woman. So all the people here, they're rejoicing and they're pronouncing praises and blessings right here. But the amazing thing is that they're pronouncing all these praises on a former Moabite woman. Think about that. So the Moabites, they were under curse from God. They weren't even allowed to be in the congregation of Israel, the Lord said, for 10 generations. And here these people were blessing her. What happened? She had been redeemed by Boaz, you know? And Boaz is the picture of Christ for us here. You know, that's the picture of what Christ did for you and me. We were the ones who were the outsiders. We were the ones who were not accepted, and yet the Lord brought us into His family by redeeming us from our sins. So we were the ones that were defiled. We were under the curse of death. But Jesus redeemed us, and now we are blessed. Wow. You stop and think about that. So verse 13, it says, so Boaz took Ruth, she became his wife, and when he went into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. Notice it's really clear, the Lord gave her a son. And children are a blessing from the Lord. So verse 14 goes on, then the women said to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. They're saying, God's blessed you. Remember, Naomi came back so down in the dumps when she returned from Moab. But they're saying, look how God blessed you. He had a close relative who was going to be there to take care of you. And may his name be famous in Israel. That's what they're declaring about this child and everything. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age, for your daughter-in-law, who loves you, is better to you than seven sons. She's born this child, this son, this gift from God, and is brought under your family line, you know. So it's a real blessing. And it's interesting, too, you think about it. Naomi really has no blood tie to this situation. It was her son that had Ruth in her life, and yet she's blessed by this, okay? So verse 16, it says, then Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Also the neighbor women who gave him a name, and they said, there is a son born to Naomi. So when they saw this little guy, that's what they were thinking. This is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Amazing thing the Lord had done. So look how the Lord had blessed Naomi here. She was full of complaints, you know, when she returned to Israel. But then when she saw that, we saw here, there, that when she started doing things God's way, you know, and man, did things turn around for her. You know, you think about this, do you have any idea what God can do with your life if you just do things His way? You know, if you just lay down at His feet and be His servant and let Him be your Lord. Verse 18 says, now this is the genealogy of Perez. Perez begot Hezron, Hezron begot Ram, Ram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nahshon, Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, Boaz begot Obed. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David. So who would ever have thought, you know, that God had such an amazing plan for this woman, Ruth? And Naomi's getting blessed in the whole thing, too. And when you look at this list here, and if you know the story of some of these people, they had some issues in their background, too. It reminds us, you know, that God can take messes and turn them into blessings. We just got to let him do it and do things his way. So a couple of things as we're going to close here. These people stepped out in faith, and they saw God work in their lives in amazing ways. And I'd encourage you to do the same thing. You know, start small if you haven't done this before. Just trust God in something in his word and see what happens there, you know. But please step out in faith and just see what God's going to do. Now, for those who want to maybe dig in a little bit more and a little bit deeper in this study, I ran across something a guy was talking about with the pictures that we see from the people here. And I thought this was intriguing, so I just put this out there for you to chew on, think about a little bit if you're interested in seeing some of these things that are a little bit hidden almost in the story. And I hadn't heard this before, but I thought, like I said, it was pretty intriguing. He said that Boaz here was a picture of Christ because he was so gracious. And we know that. That's a pretty plain one that we've seen, and you maybe hear that quite often. But then he went on to say that Naomi here, she's kind of the picture of Israel. And Ruth, a Gentile, was kind of a picture of the church in the New Testament. And just like Naomi, she left the promised land originally with her husband. Israel left the Lord. But as Ruth was redeemed, you know, and she was to be the bride of Boaz, the same way the church was redeemed, the Gentile church, and to be the bride of Christ. And in the process of Ruth being redeemed, Naomi also was redeemed and blessed in that. You know, and like Romans 11 says, it talks about the Gentile church being used by the Lord to bring Israel to jealousy. You know, and we're not supposed to bring them to getting upset, to indignation, but we're supposed to bring them to the point of jealousy. And as Ruth was redeemed and brought blessings upon Naomi, the church being redeemed has preceded the return of Israel to the Lord. So this guy also said, kind of interesting, and I don't know where you want to go with all this, but it's just interesting thoughts he pointed out, that the man who didn't redeem Naomi, the one guy who was all interested in his inheritance and said no, I thought it was funny. He said the guy must have been interested in his reputation, you know, too. He didn't want to get a Moabitess in the family line. Maybe that might have been part of his problem. But the funny thing is, we don't even know the guy's name. It wasn't written in here. So sometimes you worry about stuff that isn't worth worrying about, you know. But anyway, he said that guy, he was a picture of the law. And as he said, I can't redeem her. It's kind of a picture of the law. I can't redeem anybody. You got to come to Jesus, right? You got to find grace. So I thought those things were kind of interesting and intriguing. And if they are accurate pictures, you know, it's really amazing just to see how precise the Lord is and how things all work together. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we just thank you for this time you give us into your word. And Lord, this story is such a blessing to see people that were willing to trust you when the rest of the culture wasn't interested. Father, I know we're in a very similar place in our land right now where so many people, including our leaders, are turning away from you and doing things their own way. Father, you have placed us here and given us a chance and a calling to live by faith, to trust you, to do things your way, regardless of what's going on around us. And Father, as people do that, I pray you show us your blessing, that we would see you fulfill things according to your will, according to your promises, and that you would give us an amazing testimony on the other side of that. And Father, we thank you for the calling you give us this very day. Lord, I thank you for the folks you brought here today to hear this. And Father, if someone is here today and they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they have never put their faith in him dying on the cross to pay for their sins personally and accepted that he was raised from the dead. Today, help them believe that, Lord. Help them to come into the family of God and find the rest and peace that is in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to stand for the final song. Now, if you're here today and you already have a decision to make and the question is, do I do it God's way or not? I hope today you're encouraged. Do it his way and just trust him to see what's going to happen. And maybe this coming week you're going to be hit with something the same way, where someone's going to encourage you, maybe at work or wherever, to do things on the sly, or to just, you know, cheat a little bit to get by. Remember, God's ways are always right, and that's where the blessing is found.